Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is, sorry, I'm moving my microphone and it might sound a little scratchy. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. January's history. It's just history. And actually, I'm glad. I'm glad it is. Not to, you know, I mean, it was what it was, but it was just kind of a strange month. I felt personally, energy-wise, it was just kind of strange. And I've talked to so many people that said it felt slow. And that was on many levels, you know, whether it was somebody waiting to hear about a job or, you know, somebody with a house on the market or, you know, even in communication and in relationships, just it just felt like a little molassesy, you know, like walking in molasses or walking in mud. I guess you don't walk in molasses, but same thing, same kind of feeling. But I had a kind of an interesting idea about it, or an interesting idea came into my head. Let me put it that way. It was almost kind of like January was testing the waters of 2024, you know, kind of sticking its toe in the waters just to see what the temperature was like, to be sure it was safe to go in to invest in the new year. Or, you know, that was just sort of a kind of a metaphor or an analogy that came into my head. And, you know, or maybe that's just how I felt, you know, just, I wonder what this is going to be like. You know, I wonder what 2024 is going to be like. And I know a lot of people felt that way because it's a new year. We all feel that way in the new year. But the picture that I kept seeing in January, whenever I talked to someone who was having some, you know, struggle with slowness in one area or another of their life, was like it was an old steam engine, you know, like out of an old Western movie, and just starting up, and that. Struggle, so to speak, to get the wheels turning, and how slow that was. And as I'm saying it, I can just feel that feeling in my chest, you know, of just come on, let's get going, you know, the slowness of the wheels laboring to move until it built momentum, you know, and then it was off on its track, you know, on its track, going where it was supposed to go. But that was just a great picture, a great metaphor. You know, energy, in my experience, began to feel noticeably lighter and freer this last week. So the wheels really are turning, and energy is in motion, as it always has been. You know, it's just our experience of it in one way or another. And also, you know, when something isn't happening that we want to have happen, a lot of times that's due to our attachment to it as well. You know, when you're attached to something, you hold it in place. When you have in your head or in your, in your head, in your idea that something has to be a certain way, then you're holding a limited picture. Limited because it's your picture from your human mind, which is restricted and limited. That's the nature of the beast of the human mind. But when we want something to be a certain way, what we're doing is we're excluding the wisdom of the universe and all possibility that is the God mind that meets every demand and that will bring to us our perfect expression. And it may not be perfect in the way we want it to be, but there's so much more that we exclude, not just the wisdom of the universe and the creativity that it is, but when we want something to be a certain way, we're also excluding the future effect it may have on us and on our evolution. So that's why I think that it truly is a no-mistakes universe. And no matter what happens, whether we perceive it as good, bad, or indifferent, it is for us. And it is for our growth, our evolution, and our expansion. So more we can let go of needing anything, of clinging or being attached to anything, the less we'll suffer. And the more we'll be in that space of letting things unfold in divine timing and divine order, which is always in place, always in place. We're the ones that get in its way, you know, with what we think, how we think things should be, and what we want to control, and what we desire. You know, Michael Beckwith said, the desire that we have for something is the hello that it exists within us. That's all it is. We couldn't want anything that we could not have in our experience. But once that desire taps us on the shoulder and gives us that hello, that's when we go about, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to allow to bring that forward? Because it's already ours. You know, it exists within us. All we're doing is getting out of its way to demonstrate, getting out of the way of source, being the inlet and outlet of the thing that we desire, of supply, of grace, of love, of wisdom, whatever it is. So it's always an inside job, as Reverend Ike would say, and it's always up to us. But anyway, I just got off on a real tangent, but that was kind of cool. So back to, I'm very happy to be here today. And if you are listening live, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I invite your comments and questions about today's topic. If there's time, I'll check the chat room for readings. But there's a lot. There's for a long time now, there's just been a lot to be said. And I usually don't get to the chat room. But I do invite your comments. You know, I'd like to know what you think about what I'm talking about. And I do look at those. I read them, and I will respond after the show if I can't before. So if I can't do readings on the show, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm typically available mid to later morning, Pacific time, into the evening. If you happen to stop by and don't see me, or if I'm on a call, just put in a callback request or schedule a call. I'm notified via text immediately. I'll respond as soon as I can, and I'll always do my best to meet your schedule, because it is my blessing to work with you. Just that's the bottom line. Also, just the reminder that we have reduced rates a few times a week, which means lower prices on calls and chats. And if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that means is you leave your email address. That's it. My Available for Love 15-minute time-based session is available now in my on my bio page. Geez, my mind left for a second. Through the month of February. The new year is in full swing now. The train is on track. So we're moving into February, which is the month of love because of Valentine's Day. And love is an interesting thing. You know, all of life is relationship. We know everything by relativity, right? Everything. And relationships are tricky business. And that comes to, and I'm talking about all types of relationships, you know, whether it's friends, family, pets, or a romantic partner. It's really important to release old energy in order to be available for a new experience, and even to be fully present in our current relationships. We all have filters through which we see the world. And those filters are based on past experience, not truth. So the baggage that we hold on to, the opinions, the judgments that we have about relationship or our past relationships, looking at that and letting it go is a really important thing, because we only have so much space in our space. And that might have been something that happened years and years and years ago, but it colors, you know, our availability for something new. It colors our ability to be, as I said, fully present in our current relationships. So being free of that baggage, I like that word, makes you present for new and wonderful experiences. So the purpose of this session is to heal and clear past relationship energy and fear, because that's usually the basis of all of it, so that you really are available for love in the multitude of ways that it can show up. So I love that. I love this session, and I think it's very important. And it will be available through the month of February. Also, as always, I want to remind you of the gratitude board, which is a great tool. You can post anonymously. It's on 12listen.com, and it is moderated by all of the advisors on 12listen. You post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or something that you are working to bring into your experience, and we will add our attention and our agreement to it. So it's a great way for us to support you, and I encourage you to use it, especially since you can post anonymously. What's better than that? Nothing to lose, nothing to lose. So again, thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. Just another reminder that I give you every week, 1-2 Radio is a great way to stay inspired. You can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So 24/7, you can grab something to lift you up or learn something new or just keep you company. It's great. I want to say thank you to Jay for producing the show today and all that he does for us on 12 Radio. I really do appreciate you. And let's shift into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Om Portal by David and Steve Gordon from the Groove Tribe CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it for a few minutes. Thank you again for being here today. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I appreciate you. Enjoy the music. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I just loved it. There's something really cool about Om being chanted with Native American flute music. Isn't that cool? It's just a cool song. Anyway, the name of that song is called The Om Portal. It's by David and Steve Gordon from the group Groove Tribe CD. If you want to check it out again at some point. So today I want to talk about the constancy of supply. And I really think that that was the underlying theme of last week's show. But I wanted to share some specific incidents and ultimately a broader perspective on supply that that became very real to me and new to me just a few days ago. So supply is one of my favorite things to talk about. Because the more you know about it, the more you know what it is, which supply is simply put, it's God in you. It's source that is you, yourself, your soul, your being, your consciousness, source, which is the source of everything. And again, you know, just kind of back to whatever it is that we need exists within us. That which God is, I am. That which I seek, I am. So anyway, I love to talk about supply, and you can tell it already gets me really excited and lit up. So I'm going to start with a crazy story, and I don't want to belabor all that happened in the last couple of months of 2023. That's what I talked about last week. But there's one thing that was in my notes from that for that show to share last week, but I talked too much and I ran out of time. But I have to share it because it's just absolutely the perfect, a perfect example of supply and support exactly when I needed it, which happened all the time. But I mean, this is a no question demonstration of supply and God loving me. So between my mother's passing and Shannon's passing, Shannon's father died. My mom passed at the end of November. Alfred died December 3rd. And he lived in California, and he'd been in a facility for many, many years. And it was just, again, a huge relief and a huge release. So he lived in California, and his funeral service was on December 7th. So Channon's kids and I went to the rehab center to watch the stream of the service with him. And we had just a nice time. You know, we watched the service, and then we all told stories about Grandpa Alfred. And I needed to get back home and get to work. But when I walked outside, my car was gone. And I couldn't believe it. It was like it was surreal. This place is not, it's a busy street, and it was parked almost at the corner of two relatively busy streets. There's, other nursing facilities and apartment buildings, and it was not out of the way. It was pretty close to the corner, and it was directly across from the camera. The security camera on the facility that Shannon was in. So anyway, I walked outside. My car was gone. I couldn't believe it. And I got an instant stomachache, because what came flooding into my head was the memories of last March when I was in Illinois and Shannon got sick and was in the hospital. And when some wannabe thief messed up the steering column in our car, and then we ultimately were without a car for almost 3 months. And that's the thing. That was the first thing that just came into my head, was like, oh, no, not again. You know, what are we going to do? What am I going to do now? So I went back inside and told Shannon and his kids, they were all still there, that the car was gone. And Anna, Shannon's daughter, went back outside with me while I called the police. She drove me home so I could give them more information at home and call my insurance. And, on top of everything that was happening, I just was in this state of, I don't know, shock or something, And but the worst part, even worse than the car being gone, was the fact that there were several bags of my mom's clothes in the back that I had brought home. We'd gone through them and bagged them up carefully to donate. And I felt worse about that than I did the car being gone, quite honestly. It was Shannon's car, a Hyundai Santa Fe, that was really too big for me. I was never really comfortable driving the car. But when he went on disability, I donated my little Saturn SC2 to a veterans organization. I mean, she was 18 years old, and we didn't need two cars, and somebody could still, she still had life in her, and I wanted to pass her on so she could serve her purpose. But she was too small for him to get in and out of, too short. So the bigger car was great for him. He was 6 feet tall and had mobility issues, so he needed something that was easier for him to get into. And early last year, he was, he couldn't drive any longer, which was really hard on him. I mean, that was a big, tough thing for him to face, and to deal with. So I drove the Santa Fe, mainly to get him to and from appointments. But again, it was never comfortable. I'm small, I'm short. And so the headrest, the bottom of the headrest, always hit me in the top of the head. And the seats just weren't, I don't know. It just didn't fit. It just didn't fit, So anyway, when I got home after I called insurance and the police and everything, I called my sister-in-law in tears and I told her the car was stolen. And she said, "Take your mom's car. Go get it from her garage. Do you need a ride over there? I'll come get you and take you over there." My mom had a 2014 Jeep Cherokee. It's olive green, which is my favorite color, or one of them. And it had at that time 18,500 miles on it, on a 10-year-old car. And it's perfect. My mother had it serviced every year. And my mom was so organized. I have her files. And I have all those records of 10 years worth of the car being serviced once a year at the same place. And it was like I got in that car and it fits me absolutely perfectly. It's so cute. It's so cool. And her name is Olive, of course. And my sister-in-law was just so matter of fact. I mean, it really was part of my mom's stuff, and my brother and I are her two beneficiaries. And my niece and nephew, they have their cars, they have their lives, they have big cars. So anyway, Susan said, "Nobody take it. Take it, it's yours." So my brother called me the following day, which was really funny, on his way home from work, and said he heard that I'd had an interesting day the day before, but that he thought that I would give mom's Jeep a good home. So that felt really good. And that, I mean, talk about instant supply, just instant supply. You need a car? Here's a car. And not only here's a car, but here's a car that you're gonna love. That you can love, that fits you, that you can appreciate. And I always said thank you to the Santa Fe when I got in. I never wanted to, make it an enemy by any means, and appreciate it because it was our vehicle, it was our transportation, and it was good for Channon because he could get in and out of it fairly easily. So, not. But after the attempt to steal it and then stealing it, honestly, I really don't want to see it ever again. I really don't. I want it to go on to wherever it needs to be for someone else. But as far as the Jeep is concerned, she really is absolutely perfect. And I give thanks for her every day. She has heated seats and a heated steering wheel and remote start. I mean, what more could I want, right? My car life is complete. And again, it's just a perfect example of supply in action. After I got off the phone with the police, insurance, and my sister-in-law, Anna looked at me and said, you really didn't like that car. And, I said, I know. And I told her, I hope I never see it again. I hope it goes far, far away. And whoever needs it, whoever took it needs it. And the stuff in the back, my mom's clothes, I just had to make peace with the fact that someone is using them. And that was the whole purpose. They were going to be donated. But I kept them in the car because I didn't want to bring them in that. There were a lot of bags and they were heavy. And I didn't want to bring them in the house and then take them back outside when I had, I always donate to Vietnam veterans. But you have to schedule that. So whenever they were going to come, I was just going to take them out of the car, put them out in the driveway and make it easy. But anyway, I did make peace with that. And honestly, that peace that passes understanding took over, and whatever happened to him happened to him. And someone is getting some use out of him that needs them. So anyway, Anna took me to get the car at my mom's house, and she actually canceled an appointment that she had scheduled later that afternoon because she thought it would be a good idea for us to have dinner. And here we go. Here's another example of supply. Her taking care of me, being compassionate, being caring, being, the person who took me to get the car. And then we went out for Italian food and wine and just had a lovely evening. And it was a good evening for both of us. We had a good opportunity to talk and share. And honestly, I don't know that we'd just the two of us. I don't think in 15 years we'd ever been to dinner, just the two of us. So it was just a really, really wonderful experience. And again, supply and support showing up when I needed it. Well, the Santa Fe was found on December 19th, which was the day that Shannon came home for hospice. I let the adjuster know, and she is just a wonderful woman. I let her know that the car was found because the police let me know, because I'm the one that filed the report. Now, the car belongs to Shannon. He's the only one on the not on the title, but on the registration, and the loan for the car is only in his name. So the car was found, and it was in a sheriff's impound, Denver County Sheriff's impound. And so I let the adjuster know, and when I called the impound, they said, well, I need this, 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 and this. I need the title of the car. I need the registration. I need, because I was told to just, tell them that the adjuster's company was going to take it to their own impound so that they could assess it. And I just got this barrage of that doesn't work, and they know that doesn't work. And I was in a place where I just couldn't even hear it, so it's kind of like I'm sure my eyes glazed over and it went right over my head. But they wanted Channon to sign a document to release the car to the adjuster's company, and he couldn't do that. He passed away before I could have him do that. So it's in limbo, and I can't do anything about it because, again, it's not mine. But the adjuster has been absolutely wonderful. She told me not to worry about it. She would handle it. I have enough on my plate. I don't need to add that to it. And that she and just I mean, this is an insurance adjuster. You know what I mean? Not, and she is just so compassionate and kind. And she said, leave it with me. I'm going to take care of it, and we're going to see what we can do. And it's been tricky because, again, it really is in limbo. So I've left it to them, and I've made peace with that and detached. And I just needed to tell the story because in that story were at least three examples of supply. What I need, when I needed it, and in abundance. Just in abundance, not just it's just in abundance, you know, not just squeaking by, but giving big support. Well, here's the fourth one. You know, Mark Husson was checking on me all the time over those few months, you know, just a text or a call or you know, just something, letting me know that he was there and asking how he could support me if I needed anything. And I just so appreciated that. So I sent him a text about the car and I said something to the effect of, "I'm not sure if I'm living in a soap opera or a country song, but enough is enough." And I think he called me the next day just to be sure I hadn't been abducted by aliens overnight. Which, in light of everything else, would have been kind of par for the course. But anyway, it was just part of the giant chaotic ride at the end of the year. But the point of that was that, you know, support or supply was constantly showing up for me during that chaotic experience. You know, it was the ground, so to speak, the solidity in the whirlwind. It's always there. You know, God is not in the whirlwind. God is in the still small voice. That's where we find it. And that's where we find our ground, our solidity, our safety is in that still small voice, which is within us. So, you know, all the difficult and painful things that happened were, you know, I just have to consider the fire of my purification, as Ram Dass said. And, you know, that was another thing that I learned last year ahead of all of this, all of that occurred. And that was something that I just meditated on and chewed and pondered and metabolized in my system. You know, the things that we cannot walk away from, the things that we have to face. You know, people, friendships can fall away because everybody's growing and evolving at a different pace. And so that's just a natural part of life and evolution, especially for us, you know, on the spiritual path. But there are people that we cannot walk away from, situations that we cannot walk away from, whether they're, you know, family members or a spouse or some agreement that's been made, that you know you just got to be there. You got to be there. You got to face it. And when you make that decision and kind of put your feet down, plant your roots in that ground, then amazing strength comes up, you know, strength and neutrality. Like the other day I was talking to someone, I had a just kind of a happenstance meeting with someone that was this is a someone that I had met several times that I've done work for in person. And she just happened to be in the same place as I. And so we sat and talked for a while and I found myself, and I had just had an acupuncture treatment, so maybe that was a big part of it, but I found myself in the most incredible space of neutrality when I was talking to her. She was really going through some stuff, really going through some stuff. And I could just be there for her. And that wasn't me. You know, that wasn't me. That was God caring for her through me. You know, she was in a place where she couldn't be neutral. She couldn't find that peace. And it was one of those times, and I know that we've all experienced it, where we're almost like standing outside of ourselves, watching ourselves say exactly what needed to be said, and be in that space of being that instrument for source to say exactly what needed to be said. It wasn't me. But, you know, back to facing things that we have to face. You know, those things are the fire of our purification because we find out a lot about what we believe, what we fear, what we think is our responsibility that is not. How to get out of the way and give that away, which is the most important thing I think I've learned in my lifetime. But all of that, all of those things that happened, I came out of them a different person. I truly did. And again, just more and more able to be that instrument, that channel for neutrality, for strength, because that certainly is not me. That's a demonstration of my divinity, God in me. Joel Goldsmith said, and this came into my head, I don't know how many times, it's just been in my head over and over and over, especially during the chaos, God is only glorified through our success. And those words are incredibly inspiring for me, especially when life is challenging. And I found just in practicing that, or that's, God is only glorified through our success is a big hello, isn't it? It is. It's a snap out of it. It's a snap out of it. It's like come on, get back to neutral, get back to the space where you can be the vehicle, get out of the way, basically. So, those words, as I said, I find this especially inspiring, and especially when life is challenging. Because I have found my truth is that success only comes through my total dependence on God. Only through that. Which makes perfect sense, because success is the demonstration of God in me, that which I seek I am. So before I go to sleep at night, I read for a while. And currently, I've been rereading The Heart of Mysticism, which are Joel Goldsmith's letters to Infinite Way students. And they cover the years 1955 to 1959. And it's one of those books, I've read the whole book, it's 1200 and some odd pages. but it's a book that I go back to. I read that at night, or I read Shankara's The Crushed Jewel of Discrimination. Those are my two nighttime reads before bed. But pardon me. I've been reading, not coincidentally, of course. sorry about my voice. I don't know what's going on here. Little resistance. I've been rereading the chapter called Supply. I've read this chapter many times, but the letter entitled Abundance is the Law of the Universe is, it just, it hit me, capital HIT, hit me like I'd never read it before. And I know I had, because parts of it are underlined, but it was the parts that were not underlined that absolutely came to life for me. We can only have what we can have when we can have it, right? God meets us where we are in our spiritual evolution. So when something hits, and you know what I mean by that, when you have a realization, when you have an aha, when you have a snap out of it moment, and you see something in a completely different way than you've ever seen it before, positively speaking, it becomes part of us. And it leads us on to greater understanding and expansion. And this is the letter. I just want to share it with you. It's not that long, but man, it's juicy. So he wrote, "There is an invisible spirit which is forever appearing as form on the visible plane. In the autumn, the fruit on trees is plucked and the leaves drop away, but nobody's alarmed. Everyone knows that nature is at work, and that in a few months the leaves and the fruit will reappear. This we all know, but we fail to recognize the analogy between the cyclic activity of nature and our own supply. Sometimes we look into our pocketbooks and find them empty. The mesmerism of the world is so great that we think we've come to the end of our supply. We forget that just as there appears to be a season of barrenness in the life of a tree, so we too may pass through a period of lack, which is only a temporary phase in our total experience. Within us, deep within, The same law of God, which through Moses brought manna, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, which multiplied loaves and fishes, which has always fed, maintained, and sustained those of spiritual vision, that same Spirit is here and now in the midst of us. That Spirit, which so abundantly fills the earth with its fruitage, the sea with fish, the air with birds, the hills with cattle, the ground with every sort of vegetable, fruit, and flower, in such abundance that it cannot be counted, provides all good for us. Abundance is the divine plan for us, but we've missed it in looking at the outer forms and trying to lay them up where moth and rust doth corrupt, feeling that if we don't hold them securely in our grasp, they'll never be any more. Instead of enjoying that which is set before us in the realization that the infinite invisible, which we call Father, Spirit, or God, has provided for us an infinity of supply when we only look to it, capital IT, Father, Spirit, or God. Many people have experienced lack for such a long period of time that they actually believe that there's a law of limitation binding them to the experience of lack. This belief that there's a law of lack is the first suggestion which must be broken. If you could count the birds in the air and the fish in the sea, or if you could swim down under the Pacific Ocean, as we do out here in Hawaii, and count the shells, the rocks, and the flowers that grow underneath the water, you would know that there is no such thing as a law of lack. Abundance is the law of the universe. Abundance is supported by law, and therefore, abundance is a permanent dispensation. It is something that is as eternal as it is infinite. Count the stars in the sky and the drops of water in the ocean. Count the leaves on the trees, and then understand what infinity really means, and you will know what abundance is. It is the law of life, capital L-I-F-E, infinite and eternal. Now, in the past, man, that just lights me up. It just lights me up because his words are so vivid. You could see the water. You could see the life under the water. And that's I think, what really hit me and expanded my ability to receive what he was saying. You know, I remember many spiritual teachers, Michael Beckwith being one of them, using examples of nature, you know, grains of sand, leaves on trees, as metaphors for abundance. And mentally, I understood them, but honestly, they never hit me until I read what I just shared. So, you know, thinking in terms of each one of us, of man, as the individualization of Source, which is the source of everything. We are the vehicle through which, in the physical, we are the vehicle through which Source becomes more of itself in the physical plane. So, you know, how does that happen? How does that happen? What are the ways that that happens? Well, through creative ideas, you know, which are Source. The only creator is God, or source, or life. Creative ideas, which then harden into fact, as Neville would say. That's part of it. That's part of it. You know, what we do, how we expand outward as in our lives, right? But I think it's also through our appreciation of life in all of its forms and appearances. Go with me on this. Just float along with me. It is our concept of beauty and the infinite feeling that beauty inspires in us. Think about how you feel when you're observing something beautiful. You know, take something massive and almost overwhelming like the ocean or a beautiful mountain view. Or, you know, bring it in closer to home, your garden, your flowers, your vegetables, or your children, or a piece of art through which you feel the love of the artist that painted or sculpted it, through which you feel their spirit, through which you see in that painting through their eyes. That's wondrous. That's wondrous. How expansive is that? You know, that feeling is God. That is, you know, God, the creator and the enjoyer. We're not the creator. We're not the enjoyer. We're the vehicle through which God creates and enjoys the abundance appearing in the physical plane. You know, that's an expansive thing to think about, and an expansive thing to meditate on, and a beautiful space to go to sleep in if you do it before you go to sleep. But it was that feeling that I got, you know, of just appreciation, of looking at, you know, watching things multiply, like watch your grass get green in the spring out in your yard. Like one day it's brown, 2 days later it's green, and then it keeps getting thicker and thicker. That's abundance. That's just life becoming more and more and more of itself, which is the only thing it can do, is become more and more and more of itself. It is without end and opposite. Think about, you know, we all live under the same sky. If you look up at the stars at night, I mean, it was beautiful. The full moon was gorgeous and the sky was so clear a couple of the nights. You know, and if you look up at that, you know, you can't see any edges to the sky. There are no edges to that, right? There are no edges. There's no edges to abundance. There's no edges to supply. The flowers that bloom continue to bloom, and no two are exactly alike. That's the other thing about source, the other thing about life and supply and abundance. It doesn't repeat itself. It can't. There are no duplicates. You know, get if we could have the feeling of wonder, childlikeness, when we observe beauty in any form, we'd get even more out of it. Because again, that childlikeness and wonder doesn't have any edges to it either. It's open and accepting and allowing and free. So again, it's life, how we look at life. That every wonderful, big, fulfilling thing is God. Period. And I'm talking about big feeling, not just the thing that we're looking at, not just the thing that we appreciate. And appreciation expands that feeling. In a tape that I'm listening to called Spiritual Supply, Joel gives the analogy of the tree and how the invisible life or source draws from the earth the nutrients that feed and form all the aspects of the tree, and draws from the heavens the sunshine and water that cause it to grow and produce fruit. And all of the elements from the earth and all of the elements from the heavens are all the same thing. Life, source, supply. He said, the oneness with this invisible life is oneness with everything in heaven and on earth. And then he translates that to man. He said, the life of me is the thing that cares for me, drawing unto me from heaven and earth all that is necessary for my fulfillment. But it's not just for me. It is fruitage to be shared, just like the fruit from the trees. If it's not harvested, the trees won't bear more fruit. And that's the kicker. That's the kicker about supply. That's the brilliance of feeling and being the inlet and outlet of supply. You know, what you need, when you need it, and being what whoever needs when they need it that you encounter. You know, you have to give it away. You have to give it away to keep it going. It just, I don't know. I hope you were blessed by that, because that just, I just feel like my whole head's going to fly off, you know? If so, you won't hear from me next week. But I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, I just wanted to end on a big, expansive, lovely note. So I hope you were blessed by it. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm Kelly Whetstone. This is Empowerment. We're here on 1-2 Radio where we're listening, where obviously, man, I'm kind of like a little ditzy here. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio where we're changing the way that we relate to the world, because indeed we do create it. Our world is us pushed outward. So just think about letting that expansiveness flow, being in that childlikeness, in that wonder. And just, you know, from that state, it's amazing what you see, you know, what you things that you don't see when you're just on your own track, you know. It's interesting. I invite you to ponder that. And in the meantime, stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thank you. I hope you have a very, very blessed week. Bye-bye.